of fire, servants on offense, servants on the defense. Amen. There is so much that goes on in the life of a child of God. Amen. And I want to tell you, our source and our power is from the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by the what? The Spirit of God. And today we're going to talk about servants of faith. We are servants of faith. Hallelujah. Let's stand as we look into the Word of God. And we're going to turn our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 16 to 17. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power." What is it?
The
power of God. The gospel is the power of God being demonstrated. It's good news, but it's also the power of God at work. When we think about the gospel, don't think of just a pastor standing on the corner and just preaching. Think about power. When you hear about the gospel, it is life transforming power. It is power to alter your future and bring you in alignment with God. It is power to stop the enemy's plan. It is power to trip demons up. When you hear about this gospel, it is power. And our weapons are not carnal, but they are powerful. They are mighty. They have ability to do exceedingly above we could ask or think, because the power is within us. According to the power that works in us. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of Christ. For I'm not ashamed of this gospel. This is the only thing that will free America. It's the only thing that will free the world. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus commissioned the disciples. He said, "Go into all the world and preach this gospel." Because it's the only hope for the world. It is the only hope for the world. So the apostle is saying here, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation." For how many people? Everyone. Everyone. But you got to believe. Everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it, the righteousness, for what? In the gospel, the righteousness of God, in the gospel, he's talking about the gospel here, this message that we have, amen? This message that we have is revealed from faith to faith. So there's more than one faith, amen? There is more than one level of faith. We know to everyone is given what? The measure of faith. But here we're going to go into faith today. We're going to see from faith to faith as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Father, we thank you this morning, Holy Ghost. We ask you, God, to break your word to us. Let your word come forth the way you want it to come forth, to change our lives, to renew our minds, to refresh us, to empower us, to bring hope where those who are cast down, oh God, those who feel hopeless, those who feel like they can't take a next step, those who feel like they can't go forward, those who are ridden with pain and sickness and laying in their bed and are watching online, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will quicken them. I pray faith will come alive today. They will move from faith to faith before this message is over. And God, from hopelessness to hopefulness, in the name of Jesus, as we bind up the enemy who want to steal a word, and we command that the word of God will go deep in our heart and it will find roots, some big root that is like the roots that break the pipes of the sewer, some strong roots that travel deep and go far, the roots that run and break concretes up, God. I pray, God, that faith will hit our hearts in such a way that unbelief is going to get broken. God, unbelief is going to get broken. Hopelessness is going to get broken. Mighty God, sicknesses are gonna get broken. Lack is gonna get broken. Hey God, every mindset that is not of you is gonna get broken today. And I pray, God, that the mind of Christ will be raised up within the people of God. By the end of this message, we will walk out of this building and we'll cut off our phones.
songs online, and we're going to say, I'm a servant of faith in the name of Jesus. And God, we target every enemy and we shoot faith at them right now. We throw faith at sickness. We throw faith at unbelief. We throw faith at principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. We throw faith to our government. We throw faith to the governor. We throw faith to the president. We throw this gospel because it is powerful. Bring alignment in this country. Bring alignment in the nations of the world. Bring alignment to God in every corner of the world in the name of Jesus now. By your power of your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For Paul is writing here and he's saying to the Roman church, he's saying, I am not ashamed of this gospel. This is the only thing that will save us. This is the only hope for the world. How can we be ashamed when we have the solution? If we are ashamed, we are going to cause people to die and go to a lost eternity, because God has given us the key to unlock their future and freedom from bondages, and freedom from principalities, and freedom from family curses, and freedom from walking in spiritual darkness, because we know the God of this world has blinded the eyes of men that they will not be able to see light. Even though light is shining so bright, they will not be able to see. But today we have something that is called the gospel, and it is the power of God being manifested in, through, and by the people of God. So that is why we get together on a Sunday morning, that we could get a message like this that will tell you that what is locked up within you is a treasure. The Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure is not in angels. It is not only in the Holy Spirit. It is not only in Jesus Christ, but it is in you and I. And don't look at yourself and look at your failures. Don't look at how not learned you are, or how not skilled you are with the word, and you're not able to break the word apart, and you're not able to exegesis it. No. Understand that the power is within earthen vessels. It is not within heavenly vessels. It's not in glorified vessels. It's in earthen vessels. You and I. You and I. And if we weren't good enough, God would not put it in us. Can I tell you that? If you weren't good enough, you wouldn't get it. But God has saved you. God has washed you. God has made you pure. And he has invested within you a treasure that nothing in this world can take. Nothing didn't give it to you, and nothing can take it from you. Money didn't give it to you, because if money was necessary, Simon down in Samaria would have bought it. But they tell him, hey, Simon, your money perish with you, because this is not bought by corruptible things, silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Somebody needs to run around this church and get excited for what God has invested within you this morning. If we would get a glimpse into the spirit, what God has placed within us, we will not shut up. We will not be quiet. We would refuse to relent, because we would have a glimpse of what God has done within you. If you would stop and think what sin did between you and God, how sin separated you, how sin kept you away from God, how sin kept you from the goodness, how sin kept you from the glory, how sin kept you from reaping the mercies of God. But then you got saved. You got saved. And when you got saved, all of heaven was open to you. All of heaven was open to you, and you became a servant of faith. Why are you a servant of faith? Because without faith, you can't be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It takes faith to worship a God you don't see. It is easy to bow down to Buddha. It is easy to bow down to Krishna.
It is easy to bow down to Lakshmi. It's easy to bow down to all the gods of Egypt because they have statues. And somebody said, this is God. And somebody said, worship this thing and that's going to happen. But I got news for somebody this morning. The Bible says when Jesus met the woman of Samaria, he said to her, woman, you worship in this mountain, but you don't even know what you worship. But the hour is coming and the time is now when you shall worship neither in a mountain or down in the valley, but you're going to worship the Father in spirit. You're going to worship God in spirit. You're going to worship God in spirit. We got spirits in us. The Holy Ghost lives in us. And I want to tell you, you are made of body, soul, and spirit. And God wants you to worship him from way down deep inside. Your spirit ought to praise God. Your spirit is connected to God. And when your spirit is connected, your mind falls in line. Your body falls in line. And all of a sudden, you could not shout hallelujah. You could not shout praise Jesus. That was a foreign word to you. You could have cussed like a bird. But now your spirit cries hallelujah. And hence your mouth is able to say it because you've been saved by faith. It takes faith to get saved. We trust God by faith. Romans 5:1 said, therefore, having been justified by faith, it happened. If you're a child of Jesus Christ, your justification has happened. So, you know, when someone is in the court system and they're going to their hearing, they want to hear that they're free. And you know, when it comes up to the final hearing where it's either you're free or you're going to get sentenced, what they said, they're hoping that they're going to be free. But I want to tell you this morning, we are free. Because the word of God said that I have been justified. And how do we get justified? By faith. Because there are folks that have been justified, but you walked around bound. You're justified. You're free, but you're still coming to the altar to get saved. Because the enemy does not allow, your soul rather, I should say, and your mind, the mind part of you, has not yet received the justification that has been done in your spirit. That's why now you got to put on the mind of Christ. So that now you check your mind. You say, hey, mind, I have been justified. So if you feel unsaved, you say, no. I may have made a mistake, but I'm saved. I may have made a mistake, but my justification was bought at the cross. Hallelujah. Come, church, follow me. Hallelujah. My justification was bought at the cross. So I have been justified, and I receive it by faith. I did not witness Christ dying on Calvary, but I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God, and the Holy Spirit drew me to Jesus and he quickened the word within me. So now I have to present my body to God. I have to confirm and be transformed. Right, church? There is work that has to be done. Now when you get saved, you just feel like everything is going to be smooth dandy. Why do you think people come to church, get saved, and you never see them again? Because they feel like they can make it on their own. They refuse teaching. They refuse to be taught. They refuse fellowship. No, when we get saved, it's more we got to read the word. When we get saved, it's more we got to spend time and pray. And you got to get a church brother or sister and say, teach me to pray. Teach me, pastor. Help me, pastor. Pull me up, pastor. Hold my hand. We got to know, but I want to tell you this morning, you've been justified by faith. Amen. And not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Amen. We receive it by faith. Romans 4:1, it says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. There's no boasting before God, church. We can't boast before God. God is holy. God is upright. God is perfect. Amen? He is perfect, and he has invited us into his perfection. Look what happens here. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. If you ever try working, all you're going to be doing is stacking up debts. But if you believe, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. I want to tell you this morning, we are people of faith. We got saved by faith. For by grace I received through faith. You're justified by faith. And now the scripture encourages us, Romans, back to Romans 1:17, it says, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God has placed in everyone the measure of faith, but our faith must move from level to level. Our faith cannot remain when we just got saved. That's believing faith. That's faith to trust God for salvation. But now we need to move. That word there speaks of a progressive, a moving faith, a faith that grows. We have to grow in the grace and the knowledge. Grow in our understanding of the things of God. Amen? We must grow in our faith. If our faith becomes stagnant, we will become frustrated. You know, you talk to some Christian and all they give you is frustration vibes. Because they're not growing. If you went to college. Let's go here now. You went to college. You spent 4 years in college. After the 4 years, you got your master's and you prepared yourself for a career. And if after you've done all of that, you get into the workforce and you're not progressing, you become frustrated. It is the same way with a child of God. Our faith must grow. It must move from level to level. So that person expects that when they get into the work field, promotion will come. Promotion will come after 2, 3 years, 4 years. You become a supervisor. You become a manager. You know, you move from one company to another. You are growing in your career. It's the same way as in the natural, it is in the spiritual. We should be growing in our walk with God. Our faith should move from faith to faith. 1 John 5:3-8. Let's look at that. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and that his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We overcome the world by our faith. If God says that I shall move from one level to another, guess what I do? I move from a level to another in faith. I read the word of God. I spend time in prayer. I spend time studying the word. I spend time digesting the truths of the Lord. And he says his commandments are not burdensome. When we think about commandments, sometimes we get so caught up. We get so caught up and we think that it's all do's and don'ts. Yes, but do's and don'ts are very important. We sometimes beat do's and don'ts. But if in your home you don't have do's and don'ts, guess what's going to happen? Anything is going to happen in the house. And chaos is going to take place. Kids are going to eat, leave their dishes in the living room. And then you come home and you're screaming. And then when you go into the bedroom, you see more dishes. And then when you go to the kitchen, the sink is overflowing just because there is no rules. But as children of God, we have to grow from faith to faith. We cannot remain where we got saved. There has to be a point where we're now living a life that is in accordance to the word of God. We are growing and maturing just like a child. Matures. A child changes eating pattern as he grows. When he's 1 month old, he's just drinking milk. By the time he's 12 months old, he starts chewing on some munchies. And by the time that you know it, he's asking for the chicken in your plate. Because he's growing. So now we should be growing as well in our prayer life, in the amount of Bible reading, in the amount of studying. We want to study topics. We have to grow. And we have to become followers of Christ. Where we are obeying his commandments. He said, go and preach. Guess what you're doing? You're going and preach. He said, make make disciples, you're trying to do that. You're telling someone about the Lord. You're growing. We have to move from one level to another. This is what we have to do, church. We cannot remain stagnant. We keep his commandments by faith. This is not of works. You're saying, God, you're empowering me. You're enabling me to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I'm able to have self-control because I'm growing from faith to faith. I'm able to have joy because I'm growing from faith to faith. I'm able to have self-control. I'm able to control my anger because I'm growing from faith to faith. We have to go after God with persistence and with diligence. Amen? Go after God with diligence. We cannot remain as babes. We cannot remain immature, church, because you will become frustrated with yourself. We have to have faith in frustration even. Now, when you become frustrated with life, and you become frustrated with the circumstances of life, you got to know that you have a deliverer. You have to know that God is able to deliver us. We have to know that God is able to make a way where there seems to be no way. We got to know that God is our mighty deliverer. He is the God that had that outstretched arm. He is the God that brought the children of Egypt through the Red Sea. And when you're coming up at your... Each of us must reach a Red Sea in different parts of our life where we feel like there is no way through. It might be a sickness. It might be a divorce. It might be a financial roadblock that you're hitting. But you must know that you have moved from faith to faith now, that you believe that God is able to deliver you. You move from saving faith to understand that God is a deliverer. You have faith that God is now your deliverer. So even in frustration, you are a servant of faith. You are praying in faith. You're believing in faith. You're saying, God, I don't see it and I don't know, but if you could send ravens to feed Elijah, I know you could make a way for me to get out of this. Right? Come on, church. If you could make the widow and her son eat after they have given to the prophet, you will make a way for me, because you said, God, bring all my tithes and my offering into your storehouse, and I've been obedient to your word. So now you're moving from faith to faith. Amen. You're standing on your works. You have obeyed the commandments now, right? Yes. God says, do this, you did it. Yes. And now you're praying back what you did to God. Yes. You're reminding God. You're saying, Lord, I did it. This is what you said in your word, and I want you to move on my behalf. Even in our worship, we need faith. As we said earlier, when Jesus met the woman at the well, he said to her, you must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Our praise and our worship is by faith, that God receives it. The word of God says that our worship goes up to God as a sweet incense before God. A sweet incense. God enjoys your worship. God enjoys your praise. So now you're growing. When you come into the house of God, or every day that you wake up, you are praising God. You are worshiping God. And you're saying, God, this is what you expect of me. I'm a worshiper. I'm a faith worshiper. Because your word said, the just shall live by faith. And I'm going to praise you until you do this. I'm going to praise you until you do that. I'm going to praise until you deliver my children. I'm going to praise until you give me a breakthrough with my job. I might be struggling now, but I ain't going to struggle forever, because I'm praising you. I'm putting my worship. Yes. We have to grow from faith to faith. Faith to faith. Our walk with the Lord is progressive. It must grow from level to level to level. You don't get saved and become a bishop. Soon as you get saved, you're ordained a bishop. You don't. It's like you're going online. You could buy a bishop certificate, you know, and you could put on a collar. But sooner or later, you're going to start oozing, sinner. You're going to start oozing. Your weaknesses are going to come out. Amen? Your weaknesses will come out. The Bible said what? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. No, be sure that your sins will find you out, rather. Be sure that your sins will find you out. So we worship by faith. Now, faith, we produce by faith. Can I tell you this? We produce by faith. Let's look at this scripture. Mark 4, verse 8. And it says, but other seeds fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprung up. It sprung up, increased, and produced. The crop, the seed fall on good grounds, right? And yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, 60-fold, and some 100-fold. He said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the word of God. So now, Jesus is telling them this parable. He said, the sower went out to sow seed. We know some fell among thorns, some fall on rocky ground. But he said there were some that fell on good grounds. If your heart is good ground, when the word of God falls on your heart, when the word of God falls on your heart, the word of God will then grow. Right? Remember when we were praying, we were saying, God, let this word grow and let root go down deep and let that root go and break up every fallow ground. Let it break. Let it be strong. You know, there's some roots that they go down so deep and they move so far that all of a sudden your sewer starts to leak. And when you find out there's roots in your sewer, they're so powerful. So when we're good ground, now that ground that tree was planted on is not so much only the root, but it's also the tree was in good ground. That seed fell on a ground that was fertile, that tree could have grown, and there's nutrients that root got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. That's how we have to be. Our hearts must be so open. Our hearts must be so, we must clean up the ground. We have to check our hearts. Sometimes there are things in there, they're thorns or thorns. You know, they are rocks and pebbles. They're hard things that we sometimes need to take a rake, a spiritual rake, and pull it out with your prayers. Pull it out with your prayers. Speak to the stony heart. Command the stony heart to go and let it be good ground so that you can then produce. And how are you going to produce? 30 times. 30 fold means 30 times what you heard. 60 times what you heard. 100 times what you've heard. So you get the word of God, and now you begin. It's all about your faith. Every servant of God, every man, woman of God, it is your faith and your willingness to be eager about the things of God. That's how you produce. You could have all the gifts. You can have all the gifts, but you sit on it. Nothing will happen for you. We must produce, church. We must increase. We cannot be stagnant, and we have to internalize the word of God. Internalize the word of God. Jesus said, learn of me. We have to learn who Jesus is. He says, my commandments are not burdensome, but take them and learn of me. Faith people, learn about Jesus. Get to know Jesus more. Spend intimate times with the Lord. Spend quiet times with God that he may reveal himself to you. If you have a friend and you don't spend one-on-one time, you're not going to get close. You could spend a lot of time in a group and you're going to know each other on the surface. But when you spend one-on-one time together, that is how you grow. Look at this. Marriages. You know, sometimes you get married and you live with your family, right? You get married, you live with your in-laws or you live with your parents. Your marriage doesn't have much room to flourish. You don't. The moment you move off and there is your intimate space, there is nothing like intimacy with God. You must have intimacy with God. You must carve out time to spend time with the Lord. That is how you grow. That is how Jesus reveals himself to you. So just imagine a husband and a wife is in a home with this brother and his wife, that sister and his wife. There is no quiet time. There's always so much noise and so much things going on. But when you have your own quiet space, when you walk through the doors, it's only you, your wife, and your children. And you're not cumbered with everyone's situation. This one and that one is fighting. It's not so much you want to know, but then you're wondering why they're fighting. If you weren't in the space, it would not have affected you. And now you don't even, it's not even your business. But now you know they're fighting. So when you see them, you're fighting, huh? I wonder what you were fighting about. Yeah. We got to watch the things we associate with. We have to associate with the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. We got to hear what the Word of God says. We got to remove every distraction. Remove distraction. Remove bad company. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. If you want to produce, church, faith brings production, right? If you want to produce, you got to clear the clutter. Remove the clutter because it's inhabiting. It is boxing you up. It is holding you hostage. So instead of you having freedom to do the things of God and grow and thrive in life, you have to be fighting off people, fighting off this one's behavior, fighting off that one's behavior. It comes a time where you got to let go. You cut off and you're like, listen, I don't want to become like you because bad company corrupt good character. And I want you out of my life until you're ready to get yourself together. Proverbs 22:24. I want to produce. Remember, fear to produce. Do not associate with a man given to anger or go with a hot-tempered man or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Angry people, don't get connected with them. Don't get connected to an angry man. Because guess what? When you join the gang, you might be so innocent. You ever see a young man that joins a gang? I know we see people that they were growing up so good and nice and well-mannered and good, compassionate heart. But all of a sudden, you meet this person 4 years later, and all of a sudden, their pants is by their knee, and they don't care about what they say, who they say it to, when they say it, what they say, and they don't care who they got to kill, and who they got to shoot, and who they want to fight, because they hang out with the wrong crowd. Wrong crowd. Now, there are reasons that get people there, but we got to be so wise that even when situation presents itself, we present those situations to God. Don't get so desperate that you will follow contrary to the word of God. You follow people that God says to stay away from. Amen? Let us not be desperate, church. Let's have faith that God will make a way out. Because I got to produce 60-fold. I got to produce 100-fold. I got to produce 30-fold. I refuse to be barren. I refuse to be frustrated. I'm going to worship God no matter what comes my way. Because I'm a servant of faith. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to dance before the Lord. I'm going to praise him with my whole heart. Even when I'm about to go before the giant, I entrust the giant into his hand. Amen? When you're going to be like Abraham, God called Abraham. He said, Abraham, leave your family. He said, go to a land I'm going to show you. Don't try to figure everything out. Follow God by faith. God has the best. He said, I know I got the plans. I know the plans I have for you. God, I want to know the plans you have for me. And I'm going to follow you. And it's going to be revealed in its season. Trust God. Walk by faith. We got to have faith for healing. In the book of Mark, it says, we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. 3 John verse 2 said, we believe in that we will prosper and be in health and prospers our soul, prospers. We believe in healing. We believe. And how do we get healing? It is by faith. And when you pray, you have to release it in God's hand. He says, my way, not your way. My time is not your time. Not everybody that came to Jesus was instantaneously healed. Most were. But some of them, he prayed for them. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Go show yourself to the priest. They were still walking with leprosy going to see the priest. Yeah. So we have to trust God when whatever we do, we commit it unto the Lord because we're servants of faith. Just like we don't see when anything happened in us when we get saved, but you feel a transformation after a while. That moment when you come to the altar and you receive Jesus as Lord, or if you're laying in your room and you get saved, nothing happens physically. You don't see nothing. Everything is by faith. Abraham was counted righteous because he believed God by faith. David said, happy is the man, or blessed is the man whose sins are not imputed to him. He had to say that by faith. It's all by faith, not works. We don't have to work anything up, church. And the more we release our life, and the more we say, God, I'm trusting you with my time. I'm giving you my time. I'm going to come to prayer meeting. I'm going to come to Bible study. I'm going to get into whatever the church is doing, because I'm coming after you by faith, knowing that you have exceedingly abundantly for me. You have abundant joy. You have abundant peace. You have abundant hope. Your storehouse lacks nothing. Good, because the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to you, that the earth is the Lord, the fullness belongs to you, meaning everything else that is in the earth, beneath, above the earth, it belongs to you. So I'm just throwing myself at your mercy and faith, because I know that you're good enough to carry me through. Let's walk by faith, church. Let's walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let our spiritual eyes get open. Let our eyes of faith. The word of God tells us we must move from faith to faith. Saved. Trust God for provision. Trust God to supply all your needs. Trust God to heal your body. Worship God by faith. Trust God that you're going to produce by faith. That you'll be a productive child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand in the house this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we thank you this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that this word will find root in our heart. That it will transform our minds. That, God, we will not look for so much outward expressions, but we're going to follow you by faith. We're going to follow you by faith. Knowing, God, that you are all sufficient. Knowing, God, that you're making ways for us. Knowing, God, that our lives are ordained by you. You know us before we came here. The Bible says, God, that you foreknew us, oh God. You foreknew us, oh God. So our life is an open book. And what better thing to do? What better thing to do today? If the God that has your life in his heart, he foreknew, he knows everything about you. Why not release your life into his hand and begin walking by faith? Begin worshiping God by faith. Begin praying by faith. Knowing that God hears and God answers. Oh, come Holy Spirit, we need you this morning. Lord God, help us to step out. Just like Peter, oh God. He said, Lord, if that is you, cause me to come on the waters with you. We need to step out, church. We need to move. We need to move. From just saving faith to believing faith to faith for miracles, to faith for deliverance, faith to see the impossible, faith for others to get saved. Because he said, I'm going to save you and I'm going to save your household. God wants us all, God wants us all to trust him by faith. Oh, hallelujah. Is there someone that we could pray with this morning? You're saying, Pastor, I need some more faith. I need to come to another level in my belief. I need to let go of my life. I need to trust God with my entire life. I know I believe that Jesus is Savior, but I want to go closer. And if there's anyone that want to receive Jesus as Lord this morning, I want to encourage you, today is a good day to accept Jesus. Today is a good day to turn your life over to him. Today is a good day to surrender to God. If you're online at this time or you're in-house, would you just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Sanctify and purify me. And make me your son. Make me your daughter. In Jesus' name.